My name is Jay Hopkins. I'm 36 years old. Today is June 24th, and we're here at the IMA Green Room in Indianapolis, and I'm interviewing my wife.
And I'm Charity Counts. My age is 30, and today's date is June 24th, 2010. We are at the IMA in Indianapolis, and Jay is my husband.
And today we are going to discuss how art has influenced or played a role in Charity's life. We've been married for a couple years and known each other for, I believe, almost 9 years.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right.
And so I know a lot about Charity's life and art background, but I'm hoping to learn a little bit more today. So let's start by talking about from the beginning.
The beginning.
When was your first memory of either making art or witnessing art or?
That's a funny question because I feel like my earliest memory wouldn't be like the first time I ever actually did anything with art. Like, I loved to draw when I was a kid, and my mom has lots of stories about me drawing when I was really young. She was in the Air Force, so she would go away to Panama or some other places for training, and while she was gone, I'd draw pictures I would mail them to her, and she would collect them. But it's been a long time since I've seen those drawings. But I remember doing a lot of art in elementary school. I went to a really small school in the country. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely remember making art and doing what I would call more crafty things, mostly because it was in an elementary environment. And I remember drawing, trying to learn how to draw this character that was in a book that my art teacher had. And I memorized how to draw this character, and I don't know who he was. It was just a cat type thing. And I used to draw it on everything, on my notepads and stuff like that. So I remember really wanting to draw very specific things and do that. But I also remember that my brother at some point was doing really well in art classes in elementary school, and he always won awards, and he has a drawing that was purchased by the elementary school of a tiger.
He won art awards?
He won art awards. Uh-huh. I never did. He was the athlete, so I was always frustrated that he got to do both. How terrible that was, you know, when I was a kid. When I got into high school, it was a little bit better than that, but it evened out.
So for the first, and you mentioned the kind of the crafts and things like that, mm-hmm. that go on in school. It seems like that's kind of a standard for all kids. Mm-hmm. All kids have to start with art at some point, doing something that's kind of a project. So the character that you're talking about, that's the first thing you remember kind of doing on your own that wasn't just a school.
Yeah, because I really wanted to draw. I wanted to learn how to do things really realistically, capture something. And even if it was something I'd seen in a book or whatever, I was trying to draw everything I saw. So for me, it was more about taking what I was looking at and being able to transfer that to paper. And I don't know if it was, you know, some sort of, you know, obsessive thing that I had or what, but to me, it was more challenging and I was more interested in that.
In rendering.
Yeah, like, and actually, rendering. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I loved doing the projects that we did in classes. I mean, I loved playing with color and I loved painting and all those things when I was a kid, but I don't think I ever got as much out of that as I did just trying over and over again to create something that I'd seen. If it was something I saw outside, or I don't know, drawing a view of our house from outside or something when I was a kid, I spent a lot more time staring at what I was and observing what I was trying to draw. So I think I got a lot more out of that than I did just, you know, sticking my eraser into a piece of paper and mm-hmm. dipping it in glue and attaching it to another piece of paper.
Yeah.
Although I still use that today.
One of the typical questions is usually, what are your influences and who are the people that, you know, encouraged your pursuit of art? But what things happened to encourage you to do that? I mean, were there specific individuals that helped with that, or were there circumstances that allowed you? I know you talked about your mom going off for longer periods of time in the military. Was there some time on your own, or thoughts, things like that, that encouraged you to do that, or you felt it was kind of a natural?
I kind of think it was natural. I don't remember anybody other than my mom really ever, I guess, encouraging me to just sit down and draw. I mean, she was somebody who was always really open with what my brother and I wanted to do, like whatever creative thing we wanted to do as play at home. She kind of let us do it, and sometimes that wasn't so great. But I mean, we were just talking the other day about how she just, we used to draw on our walls in our bedroom, and we would take it over. And I remember, I mean, I think the closet in my old bedroom still today has drawings from when I was
crayons or
crayon and pen, anything we get our hands on, we were drawing on the walls. And I'm sure at some point we painted over the ones that were in our actual main bedroom, but our closet stuff, I mean, the closet never got painted, so they're drawings of weird ghosts and silly things on the wall. Probably some tic-tac-toe boards as well, and some words, and who knows, maybe even poetry. I don't remember.
So you weren't discouraged from doing that, or punished for?
No, Mom always thought it was really, really neat that Greg and I were creative in the way that we always invented stories and sort of pretended to be things and played in that way. But also she really was excited when I was drawing. And, you know, she always says that, like, the drawings I used to send her to when she was away, you know, she would keep those, and she still has them today, because she always remembered that it was, sometimes it would connect to something she was doing, and it just seemed like a really good way to remember, one, what she was missing at home, but also to not miss it entirely, you know. But I also remember that my elementary school art teacher encouraged me a lot. I even remember his name, which seems really funny, because he was only there in the first few years I was in school, as Mr. Googe. And I remember what he looked like, you know. But he encouraged all the kids. But I remember, you know, he was the one that said, here, Charity, you try this now. You know what I mean? Like, take a next step. And he's the one that put the book in front of me with the character in it. Yeah. And all those things. He's like, find something in there that you want to try to draw. Maybe he saw something in me and never really explained it when I was a kid, or if he did, I don't remember it. I just remember that he was willing to give me the next challenge, you know, which I appreciated, even though I never won an award for it.
Well, what time, you know, how long was it before you kind of acknowledged yourself as an artist, or as someone who draws or paints or who makes art, rather than just something that everybody does?
I think I knew by the time I was in fifth or sixth grade that I was good at something, that I don't know where it came from. And which I think is part of the reason why it was so traumatizing to me that my brother won award and I did not, because I really wanted to, because I felt like this was something I could own and be good at, because I wasn't an athlete. I was a tall, gangly, nerdy girl, but I could draw and I could paint and I loved it. And I wanted people to appreciate that in me. But I think in sixth grade, I was a part of a, I don't know what to call it, except for like a sort of, it wasn't an advanced class, but it was a special opportunity for certain kids in sixth grade who were more advanced students, that we would get to miss one of our regular classes and go be in another class, just the 12 of us. The 12 of us got to do all kinds of different things. And we actually, one time decided to, that we were going to raise money for our class's field trip, because we knew that the school was having problems with that. So me and another girl in the group that also was into art, we created all these animal characters and then made bookmarks and buttons and all these things by hand ourselves, and sold them to people in the school, kids, PTO, PTA, whatever, the teachers, to try to raise money for our field trip to help pay for it for everybody. And I think we maybe raised $125, but on bookmarks, that's not too bad. But I also remember the experience of, like, making the bookmarks, that we thought it would be brilliant to paint it with puffy paint But then we had to laminate them. And so all of our little characters were look like smushed, smushed like paint on a stick. It was pretty funny. But I just remember that that was like our solution was art. You know, we're going to use our skill and art and we're going to make something that people are going to want. And we're going to sell it and people will buy it and then we'll pay for our field trip. I mean, we didn't really pay for the field trip.
Right.
But it was nice that we had this money we could put to it, you know.
So you actually saw some sort of being able to support oneself or generate.
Oh, yeah. I think that we saw at least value in what we were doing. And we had probably bigger hearts than our skills could support at the time. But, yeah, I mean, I think we thought people might admire it and be interested in that. So.
And after high school, you went on and went to undergraduate school for art.
Yeah, I did. When I first started at Ball State, in 98, I actually went into it as a non-degree student expecting to eventually major in journalism. But when we were there for freshman orientation, when you actually sign up for whatever your major and minor are, it's like your last chance to say it before school starts that fall. My mom nudged me and she said, you should be an art minor. Do something with art too. And I was like, I kept looking at her and I was like, Mom, art is so not practical. Give me a break. So by the time I made it through high school, I was just thinking nobody can make a career in art unless you want to be an elementary school art teacher. And I just didn't know what I could do with that. But she convinced me that at least do something that would be, that I would enjoy doing and that would keep up my skills. And so I did. I signed up as an art minor. And I think in the first year, all my other sort of regular undergraduate courses, like Core 40 or whatever they call it, I took Foundations 1 and Drawing 1, and then Foundations 2 and Drawing 2. And in the first year, and I remember that all of my professors for all my courses, except for maybe my Foundations 1 class, because it was pretty terrible. But they pulled me aside and said, you need to change your degree, your major. And it didn't take a whole lot of arm pulling to convince me to do it. But I remember talking to some students that were there as graduate students to ask them, you know, what are they going to do with their lives? And trying to figure out what the practical side of it was. And then I finally realized, you know, I suppose if I'm going to go to school for 4 years, I might as well do something I'd enjoy. And I did. I switched. I became a drawing major.
So how did that change how you either viewed your art or viewed yourself as an artist, actually having instruction and an education on that, but also being around other people that were pursuing that, and I'm assuming different levels of talent and creativity and all those.
Everybody was different, and I remember being very intimidated by the people who were just like, I am an artist, you know, and I just wasn't somebody who was used to saying I'm an artist. And I thought it was silly that they said that, but it just seemed like there was almost an arrogance to it that made me very self-conscious about what I was doing and whether or not it really compared or if I could compare it. And I think by the time I graduated, I realized that it's such an individual, subjective thing that it's not like I couldn't truly judge any single person that I was going to school with there, but I learned a lot from other people. I learned techniques from someone, or I could admire, you know, a friend who could do things that I couldn't. And I think I learned a lot from just being around other people who could do what I could do, and or even do better in some things than I could do in terms of really understanding how to do it and just having the process down. I think that every art has elements that everybody's trying to get. I mean, you've got composition, and we all know that, but for most of us, it's just kind of there, like. We imagine the composition and it's there before we don't spend a lot of time thinking about that. But some people have to spend a lot of time thinking about that just to get things right. So when you hear somebody like talk about having an eye, like with a camera or whatever, I think that varies from person to person, how much like natural just vision they might have for something. But for the most part, everybody was able to walk away with skills and understand how to do things. The more you did it, the better you were. So lithography, I'd had one class and it was very hard, but by the time I ended class, I knew how to do it. But if you asked me to do it today, I would never be able to do it. Mm-hmm. I remember one of the other students, and he and I went to school. We were in classes almost every single class together from the time we started. Casey, mm-hmm. who you know. And Casey's one of my favorite stories about college because he was a person that I just thought, wow, you're awesome. And then I found out like after 1 year of being his friend and having class with him, that he was colorblind and he could paint 1,000 times better than I could. And I just was so frustrated by the fact that this guy with this handicap could see color better than I could. And it made me want to work harder. And we had a painting 3 course together. It was much harder work to do. And we were supposed to do artworks in the style of a different artist that inspire us, you know, and I always want to forget the artist's name who does all the cakes and the pies and stuff that look like you could just take them off the canvas and eat mm-hmm. them. And Casey did that. And I just remember thinking to myself, darn you, he even used like house paints. He wasn't even using oil paint. He used house paints and he was able to do exactly what that guy did. And I was always really jealous of it, mostly because I totally admired that ability in him. And I felt like that was something in painting. I had a harder time really capturing true color of something versus my own view of that color. And Casey could capture true color, which I think a lot of people probably appreciate more than somebody who has their own sort of view of that color and what it would be. But, you know, we became friends and I appreciated him, and there were things about me and what I could do that he wished he could do. And I don't know, I think that everybody in art school kind of walks away with that sort of feeling of admiration for others. And I remember in my one of my printmaking classes, one of the guys that I thought was an excellent printmaker, we had a conversation one day about how much I loved algebra on top of being an artist, and he was like, wow, I just always wished that I was good at math and art, because that to me seems like that would make it like a genius, you know, somebody who could do math and use it in their art, like, you know, that seems important. He's like, so that, I really admire that, you know, and I just thought that was kind of weird, but then later I was like, eh, okay, I can accept that. Maybe it is cool that I love algebra, you know, and also can do art.
So you learned a lot from other students as well as the teachers, and I know you had some really good professors and some insane professors as well. But.
Yeah, I had some professors that I learned a lot more from than others. I think some professors probably taught me more to just stand my ground than they did in any skill, you know. But I did learn a lot from other students, just watching what they were doing. And, you know, a lot of it's experimentation. Like, you don't really – a professor can help you learn something to a certain extent, but they're never going to, like – hold your hand, because you're an adult, you know, but they're going to give you the tools you need and then kind of put you to work, and as you try to figure it out, you're experimenting. And I think watching somebody else experiment while you do it helps you to find ways to do things well. I mean, I had some classes that I was more open to it, you know. I had a black and white photography class that I loved. I only took one course, but I had so much fun in it. Just coming up with concepts, things that I wanted to photograph and how fun it would be to do that, you know. And I think that I was so proud of what I did, because I just sort of let myself go for that. And then almost every time I turned in a series for an assignment, everybody was like, oh, wow, look at that, you know. And I felt good about that. I felt like I was challenging myself and trying something new and experimenting, and others saw that. But I could see other things that they were doing and in the dark room and go, ooh, maybe I should try that too. You know, how are you doing it? And then we'd help each other out. And, you know, everybody wanted the other person to succeed as mm-hmm. well. So
when we met your last year of school mm-hmm. and last year of college, I guess you're undergraduate.
Yeah.
Did some other stuff later. But and it was during that time that you spent a semester doing something else, where you weren't just focusing on art classes, which kind of led to your career path that now you work for a museum, and it kind of started that way. But I thought you could talk a little bit about how, as somewhat of an anomaly, you actually went directly from what you were doing in school to what you're doing professionally and kind of a series of steps. But
I am. In my senior year, I was invited to be a part of a project at the Virginia Ball Center for Creative Inquiry. And a couple of universities have something like this where they invite students from various disciplines to come together and do a project together. In particular for this one, it was a project for the community. So everything that's funded through this center is meant to give back to the Muncie, Delaware County area so that the people there have something new to experience and enjoy. So our project was actually partnered with Minnetrista Cultural Center. And they're a local museum tied to the Ball Foundation, which also funds Ball State and is a part of that. So it was a natural partnership for them. And I felt like I was randomly plucked out of thin air. I don't know who put my name in the pot for this. I had no idea where it came from. I just got a letter one day that I was invited to participate in this by recommendation, and I never found out who recommended me. But myself and one other art student were invited to participate. And the majority of the other folks in the group had an architecture or landscape architecture background. We had one biology student, I think one other person from another background. I just can't think of what that was. And our project was to develop, design, build, and display an exhibit that was about Indiana from our perspective. And it's called Finding Indiana. So it was our search for the true stories of Indiana. You know, what do we really want people to know about it from our eyes, the eyes of 20-somethings? And so we did it in 3 months. And I didn't realize at the time just how crazy that is. But, I mean, in the museum field, it was definitely a fast track. But it was a good experience. I was the curator for the project. And prior to doing this, I wasn't really a museum goer as a kid. Like, I'd been to a couple art museums, and I went on field trips places. I know I'd been to the Children's Museum here in Indy, the IMA. I've been to Chicago and the places up there, the Art Institute and so on. But I as a person in my family, I'm like, that wasn't where we went when we had a day off. Like, that's not what we did. We did the more outdoor things or theme parks or whatever. So I didn't really know that there were jobs or roles in a museum like what we were being asked to take part in. I thought museums only had security guards and curators. But here I was in this group of people with assignments for jobs that ranged from everything like a registrar and curator to a designer to whatever. I mean, everything I learned about the museum field and what existed surprised me. But as curator, I get to help really round up the artifacts that were going to be on display in our exhibit. And a lot of them were identified by individual teams working in different areas of the state to collect stories. Sometimes they would meet someone who's got an artifact we wanted to borrow. Sometimes we made our own artifacts, things that we collected by ourselves, or there were something we, you know, used or wore while we were in certain areas of the state. And then I helped I worked with the registrar and the collections manager at Minnetrista to actually bring those objects in. So they actually served as our official loan institution. So they would actually receive the loans for the exhibit as the partner for this project. So that was kind of neat, and to really get to see that behind the scenes work and be a part of that, as well as designing and being a part of all the process for everything else with the exhibit. And we got it done. And I remember going into that project trying to convince my art professors to give me credits for doing this work when I wasn't in their class. And the professor in sculpture, and then my drawing professor, and I believe one of my history professors actually gave credits for the work that we did. And we invited them to the opening at Minnetrista when it happened that winter. And I just remember them walking around just, you know, stopping me and saying, "This is amazing. Way mm-hmm. to go," you know? And I don't know, it opened my eyes. So that spring, I'd been working at a bank for over four years, and as my part-time job through college. And that spring, I was like, you know, I should try something new. And by this time, it was with your encouragement. Yeah, you should try it, you know? And I applied at Minnetrista to be an interpreter, which I didn't really know what that meant. I just knew they worked in the galleries, and it might be a fun way to get my foot in the door at a museum and check things out a little bit more. And when I applied, they called me at home and said, "Hey, we remember you. You worked on that project, Finding Indiana. You want to work in collections?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." Mm-hmm. So I got really lucky, I think. That project introduced me to a whole new world where I could apply the creative aspects of the work that I enjoy, you know, in art, but in a different way.
Right.
But then, you know, they just said, you know, they recognized that I did something that gave me experience in what they do, and I don't know, it was neat. It was neat.
And you worked, and you've been working in the museum field ever since. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, I guess 8-9 years to the present day. Wanted to ask you now. I know that you working for a museum. You do have aspects of your job and your career that are influenced by art and require you to use some of those skills, but I don't want to talk about any of that.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about you actually as a painter and as someone who draws. And I've seen you do more of that at some periods in the last decade and go for long periods of time where you don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk a little bit about that in the time we had. So I've known a few times that you've had emotional experiences or personal things that happen that result in artwork. So I wanted to talk maybe a little bit about some of the art that you've done and how you've chosen the subjects kind of expand on that a bit.
Well, I keep a sketchbook with me a lot. I mean, I've got one sketchbook that's practically full that I've been adding to for a couple of years now. And then I have lots of little ones that have bits and pieces from random times. It's usually in those sketchbooks first that I document anything that I'm thinking about. And it could be, I think probably the most recent and best example is I went to Israel a couple of years ago with Lauren, my stepdaughter, your daughter. And, she and I had a pretty emotional day one day when we were there. We've been touring all over Israel, and I think starting to learn and appreciate the difficulties and the conflict between Palestinian and Jewish groups. And we had actually visited a Palestinian school in Bethlehem and really got to know some kids that were around Lauren's age and had lots of really great conversations about why or what we felt about the conflict that's going on over there and what's at the root of it and what people we were meeting were telling us about their feeling in it. And most of the people who were there, Palestinian or Jewish, you know, say that they just want to get along, you know what I mean? But there are these small factions of people who make everyone believe that they're all evil on either side. And these kids were, I don't know, sort of in the center of that. What's most important to them was like the fact that they had a bedroom at a school, that it was a boarding school.
They were like 13 or 14, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were 13, 14. I think there was one 16-year-old we got to meet. They were all roommates, but they couldn't go home when we were there. They were there for the weekend, so they were all staying in their bunker room, and they showed us their room, and they were like, "Isn't this great? We have a bed," you know? They had nothing on the walls. They had nothing on the floor. There was no TV, but they had a bed. They were so excited about it, and they were excited about soccer. They love soccer. And so they wanted to tell us about how they were going on this, they had this soccer tournament coming up, and it was just really humbling, I think, for Lauren, who's not a child that's like completely spoiled, but she's definitely not without.
Right.
And so she just really was like, it's amazing that they just were happy that they had a bed. So that evening we had a good time to talk about what we learned that day. And then also, you know, Lauren was saying how before she left, she was scared to go to Israel. And it was on that day that she realized that she shouldn't have ever been worried about going there, and that our family shouldn't have worried as much, because she felt like everybody was worrying for the wrong reasons. So I remember that she started crying and pretty much never stopped. It's just really hard not to tell the story and to cry. So no, there was a point where she was laying on the bed and I was just trying to comfort her and get her to not cry anymore, and to just let her kind of let her emotions out. And I sketched it later because it was sort of a moment that was stuck in my head, but it ended up being a piece of art that hangs in our home now. I really felt strongly after I got back, after all the things I sketched when we were gone. And Lauren was keeping a journal and I was keeping a sketchbook. So between mm-hmm. the two of us, we were capturing our whole trip. I sketched a lot of things, and I have still recently, it's still kind of on my heart to do something with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to get that one image out of my head and onto paper.
Right.
And Lauren and I, you know, since I hung it up, I both see it as our reminder to never forget.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I know that people always, anyone else sees it, they kind of want to know what it was about, what was going on at the time, to, you know, whether it was something that was recreated or if it was something that was imagined there as well. So, well, to shift to maybe even more happy, emotional memories, that you're pregnant right now. We're pregnant right now.
Yeah, I'm pregnant. We're actually having a baby.
Yes. You're much more pregnant than I am.
Yes.
But how do you think that will change or affect what your art, what type of things do you see yourself doing that are involved with art? I know we've been painting baby room the last few weeks, but and we talked somewhat about it, but
I don't know. I already have, I mean, I always have lots of things I want to do. It's finding the time to do them anymore. But I already have things I imagine, you know. We've been talking about trying to pick a name, and I know we want names that have some value to us, that it's beyond just a name, and honoring our sort of connection to the classics and classical history. And I keep thinking, wouldn't it be cool to do a painting, you know, that hangs in the room, that as a child grows older, we can continue to explain it to him and help him see new things. I just remember when Lauren was 6 or 7, back when I first knew you guys, she just was so curious about the different things she could see in my art. And I want this child to have the same questions, I guess. I just think it's fun to talk about it.
Do you think he'll be an artist?
We'll see. I mean, it's hard to say. Maybe he'll be born with the eye or whatever you want to call it. But I think everybody has to at some point make a choice whether or not they're going to do anything with it. I'm certainly going to encourage him to be creative. Not yet certain I'll let him draw on the walls. But
not after we just painted them.
No. But I know that if there are any signs that he wants to, you know, draw all over things, I'll absolutely encourage that. And just being creative, you know, not being afraid to try different things or to play. I think it's all part of growing up, you know. So we'll see.
Yeah. And I know that we've had different conversations about what is art, what isn't art. And I think that'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because I've not always done music as what I would consider my art form, but I guess that's the ear rather than the eye.
It so. Is, and I certainly don't have that. I don't have that ability. So, I don't know. I think it'll be really interesting to see what this boy's into, you know.
So maybe we'll get both of them, or they'll cancel each other out, and you won't be able to do anything at all.
Yeah, I know that. Lauren's mom always said that she wished that she would somehow get your musical ability or by osmosis get my art skills, and that never really quite happened.
It didn't.
But Lauren is great at poetry
and dancing.
So she's got it. It's just how it manifests itself is a little bit different.
Yeah, you can't always control that. You can just
no, and we won't try, will we?
Maybe a little bit. So
it'll be fun.
Yeah. Well, this has been fun to get more down on tape here.
I guess this is something we can share with our kids someday.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you.